I'd like to start out by welcoming my St. Thomas More sisters here. Thank you for coming this morning. And we had some new Crististas sisters that made their Cursillo this weekend. They're also here, so thanks for coming. I am so happy to be here with you today. It's truly a blessing and an honor. So when Norma called and asked if I would get this talk, I have to admit I was both touched and a little surprised because I had already given a talk once before here to Wings. But then I thought, okay, Lord, so what are you up to now? Because just 1 week earlier, another woman's group had asked me to speak at their event. I couldn't help but smile. You see, for most of 2025, I felt like I've been in the desert, not doing much ministry work as I'm used to, not serving in the ways I normally would. It's been a quieter season than what I have chosen for myself. But as we all know, God doesn't always ask our opinion on timing. Apparently, He decided my desert season was coming to an end. So now I'm thinking, I have a feeling 2026 might be a little busy, not only with these talks, but I was also asked to be post-Cursillo coordinator for 2026-2027. And honestly, I'm grateful and thankful. Thanks be to God. You see, because I have come to realize is this. Sometimes the desert isn't a punishment. Sometimes it's preparation. Sometimes God allows us to sit in the dust so that we can learn how to rise from it. And that's what I want to talk about today. Faith and hope in the gospel and how through Christ we rise from the dust. Okay, ladies, excuse me, but I'm just gonna put it right here. Because the gospel reminds us that no matter how dry the season, no matter how forgotten or weary we feel, God is never finished with us. He is always calling us up, always restoring, always breathing new life into us. What is the meaning of faith and hope? Let's review. Faith is trusting in God and believing His promises, even when we cannot see the outcome. For example, in the Bible, in Hebrews 1:11, it says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." Hope. Hope is rooted in God's promises. In the example of Jeremiah 29:11, He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you hope in the future." Here, hope means trusting that God is working for good, even when we can't see how. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, we meet a woman who has been dragged into the streets. She is thrown at the feet of Jesus. The religious leaders are standing over her. She is exposed, ashamed, condemned. And where is she? In the dust, on the ground, humiliated. And what does Jesus do? He kneels down into the dust with her. He doesn't stand above her. He doesn't lecture her. He doesn't condemn her. He bends down and begins writing in the dust. Ladies, this is where our faith begins. Faith begins when we realize that Jesus is not afraid of our dust. He is not shocked by our failures. He is not intimidated by our sins, our weaknesses, our desert seasons. And when He speaks those powerful words, "Let the one without sin cast the first stone," one by one, they walk away. And then Jesus looks at her, still in the dust, and says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." That is hope. Hope is not pretending we never fall. Hope is knowing that when we fall, Jesus kneels beside us and calls us to stand again. If hope looks like Jesus stooping to lift the fallen, then his welcome of children shows those same compassionate priorities lived out in how he treats the marginalized. Jesus' interaction with children can also be understood as encounters with the marginalized. Parents of Jesus' day, like all parents, love their children. The child in this talk embodies Jesus' gospel. The least among us is the greatest. Those who receive the lowly child receive Jesus, the God who sent him, and God's kingdom. The marginalized children are also foundational to understanding why Jesus blesses them. On February 4th, 2013, I became a grandmother for the third time. My daughter Desiree gave birth to Jonah Benjamin Flores, and I know some of you know him. Our family was overjoyed, especially since it's been 7 long years since the last baby was born in our family. Desi, 24 at the time, was becoming a first-time mother. Her pregnancy was beautiful. She was strong, healthy, and seemed to glow throughout. Of course, like any first-time mom, she was also a little nervous. On that day, we visited my sister in the hospital. Desiree confided in me that Jonah had not moved all day. This was unusual, particularly because she drank Coke for breakfast, and Jonah never liked the carbonation and always kick and move like crazy. Seeing the worrying on her face, I suggested she call her doctor to share her concerns. Desi did call her doctor and explained that Jonah hadn't moved all day. The doctor suggested it would be safe and wanted her to come in right away for monitoring. My heart was racing as we quickly made our way to Hogue Hospital. I could feel Desiree's anxiety, and I tried to stay calm for her sake, though inside I was just as worried. Once we arrived, the nurses hooked her up to the monitors. We watched in tense silence, hoping for a sign of Jonah's movement. And then, finally, a tiny flutter, a reassuring kick, appeared on the screen. The relief washed over us was immense. It was a reminder of how fragile and precious life is, and how important it is to trust a mother's instincts. That day, Jonah Benjamin Flores not only made his arrival into the world later that evening, but he also reminded us of the strength, intuition, and love that surrounded a family awaiting a new life. This personal moment prepares us to consider a broader example of divine compassion found in the story of the prophet Jonah. The story of the prophet Jonah is deeply meaningful to me, not only because my grandson shares his name, but because it beautifully illustrates God's mercy towards the most vulnerable among us. The moment Jonah was born, the doctor noticed seizure activity. We later learned that the umbilical cord had been wrapped around his neck, cutting off his oxygen. In that instant, it felt like the world stopped. We almost lost him. But God had other plans. Jonah was then quickly transferred to Chalk Hospital for more specialized care. As part of his treatment, he was placed in a cooling cap, a remarkable device that circulates cool water around the head to lower the brain's temperature and to prevent or minimize damage from the oxygen deprivation. It was a small but powerful reminder of God's protection and the hope, even in places and even in the most fragile moments. Like the woman in the gospel, sometimes we find ourselves in the dust, humiliated, ashamed, or simply worn down by life. And yet, Jesus kneels beside us. He doesn't condemn, he restores. Faith begins when we realize that he is with us in our lowest place. Hope begins when we hear his words calling us to rise. That call to rise isn't just a one-time thing. It's something God asks of all of us again and again. And that's exactly what the story of the prophet Jonah shows us. Jonah tried to run from God. He resisted God's call and ended up swallowed by a great fish. Deep in the darkness, trapped and alone, he was in his own version of the dust, powerless, scared, and isolated. But in that place, the prophet Jonah remembered God. He prayed, he turned back, and God responded. God gave him hope, God restored him, and Jonah rose, not by his own strength, but because he trusted God's faithfulness. Ladies, this is our story too. Life can swallow us whole. Seasons of struggle, disappointment, or loss can feel like darkness with no way out. But faith reminds us that God is present even in the valley of the storm. Hope reminds us that he will never leave us there. And when we turn to him, like Jonah, we will rise, renewed, restored, and ready to live the purpose he has for us. So today, as we reflect on faith and hope in the gospel rising from the dust, let us remember, God doesn't waste our desert seasons. He doesn't waste our dust. Every trial, every moment of feeling low is an opportunity for us to learn, to trust, and to rise. Baby Jonah was in the hospital for one long month. So many people were praying for Jonah and for his mom. The outpouring of love and prayer carried us through some of the darkest days. Yet my heart was breaking for my daughter, for the uncertainty she would face and the unknown future ahead for her and Jonah. The doctors diagnosed Jonah as a quadriplegic, cerebral palsy, and epilepsy. They told us he would never walk or speak and that we should prepare ourselves for significant developmental trials. Their words felt very heavy and final, but I refused to accept that diagnosis as the last word. My faith was stronger than any prognosis. I believe with all my heart that God is the ultimate physician. Doctors practice medicine, but God performs miracles. He has the final say. He writes the story. And I chose to stand on his promises instead of standing in fear. Faith is always God's gift. Jesus taught this when the disciples asked him to increase their faith. He said, "If you have faith like the size of a mustard seed, you could say to the mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." That gift of faith is what sustained me and made me strong for my daughter as we face the life-changing changes ahead of us. While Jonah was in the hospital, Ash Wednesday came upon us, and I asked my daughter if she would join me for Mass at Holy Family Cathedral, which is down the street from CHOP. To my surprise, she said yes. Although she was raised Catholic and received all her sacraments, she was not practicing her faith at the time. My heart was full knowing that she agreed to go. When we arrived, the church was packed. We were both anxious, wanting to get back to Jonah, yet knowing we needed to be there. I had been praying constantly, asking God to please let Jonah be okay and to grant me the peace in waiting. As Mass continued and Father began his homily, to my surprise, his message was about the book of Jonah. He told the story so beautifully, with such reverence and hope. My daughter and I turned towards each other, our eyes filling with tears. In that sacred moment, I knew God heard my prayers. A deep sense of peace came over me. I felt assured that God would walk with Jonah through every trial and every victory. And in that same moment, I knew he was walking with us too. Jonah's journey began with challenges, obstacles, and so much unknown. Yet my hope is in God. I trust he is working all things good for Jonah. We all know Jesus performs many healing miracles again and again. He connected healing with faith when he cured the woman with the hemorrhage. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you." Mark 5:34. To the leopard, he said, "Stand and go, your faith has saved you." Luke 17:19. And when the paralytic was lowered through the roof, Jesus saw the faith of his friends and said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." That's Mark 2:5. To me, Jonah is a miracle. Although he cannot do many things physically, he brings immeasurable joy to our family. He gives hope to others, especially families facing even greater physical challenges. His life reminds us that quality of life is not measured by ability, but by love. God reached down into the depths of the ashes and raised Jonah into his light. Jonah's victories are many. He has been seizure-free since the age of 2. He communicates love in his own beautiful way. He understands everything we tell him. He's incredibly smart, very nosy. He's a social butterfly like his Uga, which is his name for me. He is handsome and full of charm, and all the girls adore him. Jonah may have begun his journey surrounded by uncertainty, but he walks it wrapped in faith, covered in prayer, and sustained by love. Jonah was baptized in the Catholic Church. He made his first communion. And God willing, he will receive confirmation when he's of age along his peers. He loves going to Mass with me and gets excited when we go up to receive Jesus in the Eucharist. He always grunts because he wants to go ahead of the line. He joins us as we pray the rosary, holding his rosary beads tightly in his hand, already familiar with the prayers that bring him comfort and peace. He's also a world traveler. We recently spent Christmas in Japan. He has visited Mexico, Colorado, and Hawaii. He attends horse therapy and absolutely loves his horse, Tenny. Most of all, he has exceeded every expectation the doctors once set for him. Through faith, perseverance, hope, and God's grace, he continues to show us that life is not defined by limitations, but by possibilities. You see, it truly takes a village to raise a child with disabilities. Not just a village of helpers, but a village of believers. And Jonah has that. He has people who don't just care for him, but champion him. Our close-knit family isn't simply supportive, they are his biggest fans, celebrating milestones that others might overlook, but you know are miracles in motion. We always look forward to Halloween to see what Jonah will wear. His mom, Desi, gets very creative, which isn't easy with Jonah using a wheelchair. Last year, Jonah's elementary school teacher reached out to Desi to ask what his costume he would be this year because they always loved his past outfits. That's one of his favorite holidays. Jonah turning 13 feels especially meaningful. Now in junior high, it's exciting for us. 13 is such a sacred threshold, no longer a little boy, not yet a man, but stepping into that in-between space of growth and discovery. The fact that he now has a teenage attitude almost feels poetic. Doctors once spoke in limitations, but here he is, expressing opinions, testing boundaries, showing personality. That spark of independence, even when it comes with sass, is evidence of life, growth, hope, and God's faithfulness. And yes, the facial hair, the deeper voice, the sudden height, those physical changes can catch everyone off guard. For my daughter, it must feel like time folded in on itself. One moment, she was sitting beside a hospital bed, praying through uncertainty, and now she's looking at a young man forming before her eyes. No wonder she wonders, where did the years go? Motherhood has a way of compressing time, especially when the early years were filled with fear, advocacy, appointments, and prayer. But what a testimony those 13 years are. Each year layered with resilience. Each birthday a declaration that God's plan was bigger than any diagnosis. Jonah's teenage attitude isn't just typical adolescence. It's proof of development, personality, and presence. It's a gift. My daughter may be freaking out, but underneath, that is an awe. Awe that he is here, awe that he is growing, awe that the doctors gave limits to continue to unfold in his own unique way. As his grandmother, I get the beautiful privilege of loving every minute of it. The attitude, the growth spurts, the facial hair, all of it. Because I see it not as an inconvenience, but as a miracle after miracle. 13 years ago, there were unknowns. Today, there is personality, there is laughter, there is family, there is village, and there is Jonah, wonderfully made, still growing, still surprising, still teaching everyone around him about strength, faith, hope, and joy. It says in Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This powerful verse reminds us that this isn't just a feeling, it's a divine gift that comes through our relationship with God. As in the story of the prophet Jonah, we see the worst parts of ourselves magnified, which generate humility and gratitude that God does love his enemies and puts up with the Jonah in all of us. This strange story becomes a message of good news about the wideness of God's love, which ought to challenge us to the core, especially during this Lenten season. What Jonah's story reminds us is this: God is faithful even when the outcome looks uncertain. When we could not see the way forward, God was already there. When fear tried to take over, his mercy stepped in. When we felt powerless, he was powerful. Faith does not mean we won't face storms. It means we trust the one who commands them. Hope does not deny the reality of hardship. It declares that hardship does not have the final word. God does. For 3 days and three nights, we waited, we prayed, we surrendered. And in that waiting, we learned that God's promises are not fragile. His love is not limited. His plans are not interrupted by crisis. I am so incredibly proud of Desiree. She is an amazing mother. She has persevered through doctor's visits, hospital stays, therapies, sleepless nights, major medical decisions, obstacles, and struggles most people will never fully understand. And yet, she shows up every single day with strength, patience, and a fierce love. She didn't just become a mom. She rose into the motherhood with courage. There were moments of fear, moments of exhaustion, moments when the future felt uncertain, but she never stopped fighting for Jonah. She never stopped believing in him. She never stopped trusting in God. I truly believe that God chose the perfect person to be Jonah's mom. Just as God appointed Jonah for a specific mission in the Bible, I believe he entrusted our Jonah to Desiree for a divine purpose. God knew her heart. He knew her strength. He knew her faith. And when I watch her with Jonah, the tenderness, the beauty, the joy she finds in his milestones, I see God's grace in action. Sometimes we wonder why God allows certain journeys. But when I look at Desiree, I don't see why, I see who. God knew who would carry his calling. God knew who would love him fiercely. God knew who would fight for him without hesitation. And he chose her. The same God who hears the prophet Jonah in the belly of the well hears us in hospital rooms and sleepless nights and in moments of desperation. He is the God who rescues, restores, and renews. So whatever 3 days you may be walking through right now, hold on. God is still working. God is still faithful. And God is still writing a story of faith and hope. And I dedicated this talk to my sister, who died that same year, 2 months after Jonah was born. So we were blessed that she was able to meet him. And I thank you, ladies.